The Cowboys win and we're moving on to the next round of the playoffs. Welcome to another episode of The Drive. I am the Dallas Cowboys addict. Today we'll be covering what happened on today's game against the Seahawks. And let's just get into it. Feeling a little generous? Support this podcast. Go to anchor.fm/thedrivecowboysaddict/support. That's anchor.fm/thedrivecowboysaddict/support. Any little bit goes a long way. So the Cowboys are moving on. We beat the Seahawks. It's a good day. It's a good time to be alive. I don't know what else to say. I'm super excited. I'm so happy that we won. The game didn't start out that good, but we pulled through and we made it, and now it's on to the next game. We still don't know who that is. It depends on who wins next week, but whoever it is, I can assure you that it's going to be a great game, and the Cowboys are going to give it their all, and we're going to have a very good chance at moving on to the NFC East Championship game. This game ended up being, it was a nerve-wracking game. It ended up being great. It started out a little bit dull, honestly, but it ended up being a great game. Dak, again, proving that he is a game winner. He's not the most flashy guy out there. He's not the best thrower of the football. But when it comes to winning the game, you better believe he's going to give it his all. You better believe he's going to make the right play. He's gonna do what he needs to do. And as long as the defense keeps the game close, I believe that we can win with this guy. Now I believe that we can win with this guy as long as the game is close. If the game is not close, if the defense can't keep it together, then that's a different issue. But if the game stays close enough, or if the Cowboys have a lead from the get-go, then you better believe Dak is the right guy, and he is going to make the right plays to get you to that W. Dak, this game, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't great. He was good. He finished 22 out of 33 for 226 yards, one touchdown. One very costly interception there that looked like it was going to cost us the game, or at least have a momentum shift to the other side. He finished with an 83.7 quarterback rating. He rushed 6 times for 29 yards. His long was a 16-yard rush that he had in the fourth quarter, where it was a 3rd and 14, and it just seemed like he was going to get sacked, and then he kind of maneuvered out, and then he seemed like he was going to get stopped like 3 or 4 yards short, and the guys just end up crashing on themselves, and he just does this amazing flip over the guy that's trying to tackle him. That was awesome. That's what I'm talking about whenever I say that he's going to make the right play to win the game. That's the kind of quarterback he is. That's the kind of player he is. Ezekiel Elliott finished with 26 rushes for 136 yards and one touchdown with a 44-yard long. Amari Cooper had 7 catches for 106 yards. So all around, a very good game by the three main guys in our offense. Ezekiel Elliott hardly ever came out of the game this time. I think I only saw him come out of the game the one time, that one time that he ran and he pushed that Griffin guy down to the floor, which, by the way, was just amazing. The way that he pushed him down and he just kept going. I think that was the very first time I saw him come out of the game, and then Rod Smith came in for a play and then really didn't show up other than special teams. So an all-around good game, at least at the end, especially because we won. Really only because we won, but all-around good game. This game wasn't at all perfect, though. In the beginning, it was looking a little bit rough, honestly. And it was looking rough because it was looking like Beasley was injured. At least that's, he did get injured, but he was able to keep playing the game. But you could tell that he just wasn't the same, and it's because he had to get his ankle wrapped up. He gets injured in the first drive of the first and the first drive, obviously, of the first quarter in the game, and then the drive stalls on a third and ten, where Scott Linehan again calls a screen play. God knows why. This guy just proves time and time again that he has no imagination. He has no feel for when or how often to use gadget plays. It's just sometimes it seems like he tries to do them in the most inconvenient times, and it just seems like everybody's expecting it, and he just lacks imagination. He seems to not have any imagination when it comes time to calling the plays. So the drive stalls and we settle for a field goal. Cowboys go up 3-0. And then Allen Hurns gets a broken ankle. Honestly, I'm not sure if it was an ankle or what it was, because as soon as I saw him on the floor and I saw that his leg was kind of, it just kind of looked like it was laying there, and it just looked a little bit off, a little bit awkward. And then they were showing the replay, and they showed when the guy kind of landed on his leg, ankle area, and his ankle started to twist. I stopped watching because I don't like to watch people getting broken bones. It's very nasty to me, and I don't like watching that kind of stuff. So I looked away, but I knew that it was real bad. I mean, you can tell it. All the players were really worried about him. They were kind of going over there and giving him just trying to cheer him up, or telling him, it'll be fine or whatever that is that they're saying at that time. He was crying. You could tell that he was crying. But I mean, it's kind of sad, especially considering that I saw an interview where Dak was saying that he's a good guy and he's a good teammate and he's selfless and overall just a good person in general. So that's kind of sad to see, but he'll get better. Obviously, he's done for this season, but and I honestly I don't see him coming back to the Cowboys next year. I don't remember right now off the top of my head what his contract was, but if I had to guess, I would probably try to deal him, or just let him go. Probably once he gets healthy. Probably doesn't seem like the right thing to do, or I'm not really sure if they can let him go when he's injured. I'm not too familiar with the rules there, but as far as him being a good player for the team, occasionally he is. Occasionally he's a good outlet, but for the most part, he's kind of a non-existent player now that Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, and Beasley, and now Blake Jarwin is coming on. He's not really all that involved. Even Tavon Austin, once he's healthy, it seems like he gets used more than Allen Hurns, especially with gadget plays. That first quarter, though, that defense, the Cowboys defense was amazing. They didn't allow a single first down in that first quarter, and up to the second quarter, around what was it, 9 6 minutes in, they had only generated 5 yards of offense. The defense was amazing, and it was the offense again that kept us from scoring more. They were stalling. They were just not doing. They were not doing much. But the defense for the Cowboys was amazing in that first quarter. In that second drive when Seattle had the ball, Antoine Woods was a freaking monster in that second drive for the Cowboys. He broke up that screen play way behind the line of scrimmage, and then helped with another tackle. And then he was really the reason why that second drive for the Seattle Seahawks stalled. The defense in that first quarter had a great game. But then in the second quarter, the defense gave up two big plays that really set up Seattle for the tie. They did end up holding them, obviously, because they went for the field goal and they scored. But they did give up two big plays. And the Cowboys need a different kicker. The Cowboys need a, I mean, Mar, what is Mar good at? He did get that touchdown saving tackle there whenever the guy was returning the ball. But he's supposed to be a kicker, right? And he's not good at kicking short kicks. At least he misses a ton of them. He misses a bunch of them. And he also misses from long range. So he misses from short range and he misses from long range. So what is this guy good at? I don't understand what he did good in the offseason to beat Bailey. I almost feel like Bailey was missing a lot, but I almost feel like they let Bailey go because he was getting paid a lot of money. Not that it was too much money, but that he was getting paid a lot of money, and they could have kept, and they probably figured they could keep Mar for maybe even less than half of what Bailey was getting and get pretty much the same results. But we need a different kicker, man, because Mar is a he's a pain in the ass sometimes. It's just he keeps missing wide right. It's annoying. It really is annoying. And when he missed that field goal, I was feeling like that was going to be the defining factor that kind of made us lose that game. Especially when I noticed that Seattle started moving the ball. At that point, then I felt deflated. We had just missed a field goal. Seattle's moving the ball at will, basically. And our offense wasn't doing anything about it. When they had the ball, they weren't doing anything. So at halftime, you know, I'm very upset at Scott Linehan for just, like I said earlier, no imagination. The offense just doesn't seem like they want to do anything. And the first half really ends with what I think was one of the defining factors in where and how this game was going to end. Because it's never good to see a player get injured, but when your kicker get injured and you don't have anybody else to kick field goals, it seems like not a big deal, but in close games it's a huge deal. And Janikowski really ended up hurting the Seahawks. Especially there at the end with the onside kick where I don't know what the guy was trying to do because, I mean, probably he was probably trying to drop kick an onside kick, but he just totally botched it. He just kicked it straight up in the air and into the hands of Beasley, basically handing the Cowboys the game. And I just realized that I totally skipped over the other plays. When the Seahawks went up 6-3, then Zeke has a big run. And then Dak Prescott tries a fade over to Gallup, and he just completely overthrew him. It was a bad throw, honestly, unless he was just trying to throw it out on purpose. I'm not really sure, but it looked bad. And then they try the same play right after that, and immediately I was mad because I'm like, why are you going for the same play again? And thank God that I was wrong, because that was a perfectly thrown ball into Gallup's face, really. And it was just a great throw and a great catch by Gallup and a touchdown. And then that's when Seattle got the ball back again and they started moving the ball. And that's when Janikowski got injured. Sorry, I totally skipped over that. I just realized. But basically, that was the end of the first half. Or rather, that was the end of the half with the Cowboys up 10-6. And even with going up 10-6, I wasn't feeling too comfortable with that lead. I was still a little bit upset, and I knew the game was going to be a close game the entire time. I had predicted a score of 24-20. It was close. And so I knew that it was going to be a close game, but I still was very upset with the way the game was turning out, because the defense had really had a very dominating first half, and it seemed like the Cowboys should have just really... They should have done more on offense to be up by more. And they just couldn't move the ball really that much. So then getting back into it, the third quarter started. And the third quarter starts out great. Defense goes out there. And I'm thinking to myself the whole time, we need a three and out. We need a three and out. And we need to go down there and get at the very least, another field goal. The third quarter starts, and it starts out amazing. The Cowboys get exactly what they need, three and out. And then the offense goes out there. And the offense, again, just cannot move the ball. Just terrible. You know, just terrible execution, really. And the third quarter really is where I start thinking, we're not doing anything. Nothing at all. And it really seems like we're just getting out coached at this point. And Russell Wilson turns it on, and he starts to become the player that he is, and the reason why all the Seattle Seahawks fans think so highly of him. He starts to make all the plays that you don't think he should even be making, with guys in his face, just throwing the ball down the field perfectly in spots that I'm just not shocked, but I'm just like, come on, man, what is going on right now? So the third quarter was terrible. It was bad. It just seemed like we were getting out coached. Russell Wilson was just playing really good that third quarter. They ended up getting a touchdown. They ended up getting a touchdown, and they convert for 2 points. So now we're down 14-10. It's looking really bad, especially considering the way that our offense is playing. And I'm just mad. I'm mad at the TV. I'm mad at everything. I'm mad at the world at this point. I'm very upset. And in the fourth quarter, there's a play that really sticks out in my head. When we're down, we have inches to go to score, right? And they call. I understand that Zeke is a very good running back, and he's a very hard guy to bring down. And he's a very powerful guy. And when you need 1 yard, you know, you want to give Zeke the ball. I understand all of that. But in the goal line, when you need inches, just inches to get into the touchdown, to get a touchdown, and you have a quarterback the size of Dak Prescott, why are you not calling the quarterback sneak? This is the play where Ezekiel Elliott, I don't know what happened to his ankle, but he tripped, or his ankle kind of went, kind of twisted a little bit, but didn't, not in the way that he got hurt, and he fell down. And I'm thinking to myself, we have a quarterback who is built like a freaking Hummer, and we don't give him the ball on a quarterback sneak. Thankfully, we ended up scoring on that play. But this is another one of those things where I look back at Scott Linehan and I'm just thinking to myself, what is going through your head? What is on your mind? What are you thinking? Why wouldn't you try a quarterback sneak at least the very first, the first time? You still have enough downs to run another play. Try a quarterback sneak. Eventually, in the fourth quarter, they do a quarterback sneak, and he scores. And I'm yelling at the TV, why does it take you that long to figure it out? But anyway, we ended up scoring, so that was great. Seattle gets the ball back, and they're complaining that Cheeto, on one of the plays, it was a very crucial play, too. I think it was a third down. They're complaining or thinking that Chidobe Awuzie committed pass interference. And as I'm watching the TV and I'm looking at the replay, I'm telling my wife, no, that is not pass interference. If anything, Lockett was pushing off Cheeto. And then right after that, Aikman kind of repeated the same thing that I said. But that was clearly not a pass interference. And sometimes the coaches, I understand what they're doing, and I know what their thought process is. You know, they want to win, but if you're wrong, just be quiet. And if you see what's going on, and if you notice that it's not pass interference, then don't complain. Just let the ref. Even if you complain and if you're right, the refs are still gonna call whatever they're gonna call anyway. They're always getting shit wrong, and that's just part of being human. And they're always gonna get plays right. They're always gonna get plays wrong. Sometimes they're gonna let them play it out, but just stop the complaining. Just live with it. Deal with it. Everybody else does, or at least should. When teams lose a game, it's not because of the refs, no matter how much they try to blame them. And then right after that, they punt, and Tavon Austin has a great return, and that would have been a touchdown had he not really tripped himself, hit him with his own feet. He kind of hit with his left foot, with his right foot hit his left ankle, and he slowed himself down. Although I think the kicker had a little bit to do with it, but I mean, come on, Tavon Austin is incredibly fast, and had he not tripped himself, that would have been a touchdown. Because I think the kicker hardly even touched him anyway. Sorry, the punter, not the kicker. The kicker was out at this point. It was the punter. Dickinson, or whatever the heck his name was. So Tavon Austin gets us that close, and then what does Dak do? He underthrows Noel Brown, and interception. And these are the kind of things that drive me crazy about Dak Prescott, is that there's a wide open space to throw the ball, and that open space was to the right at the top of the end zone. And he, at least to Dak's right, and he threw the ball to Noah's right side, which was Dak's left side, and short. And I'm starting to accept that these are the things that we're going to get with Dak. We're going to get these really bad throws, but we're also going to get the playmaking ability, in the sense that if we need 8 yards, he's going to get 8 yards and 1 inch or half an inch, but he's going to get those 8 yards. If we need a touchdown, he's going to do whatever it takes to get the touchdown, whether that's him running it himself or just having a great throw. But we're going to get a lot of those inconsistencies with Dak. I think that's just something that we're going to have to live with for a very long time. Because now, now it's pretty much guaranteed that Jerry is going to re-sign him. He's going to extend him. He's going to pay him. And now with this playoff win, I'm starting to think that he's going to end up paying him somewhere around the $28 million a year. I'm not saying that's a good idea, or I'm not saying that that's a bad idea. It's just, I think that's what he's going to get. I'm not saying that's what he deserves either, because I don't think he does yet. If he wins a Super Bowl, he definitely does. But if he doesn't, then he doesn't yet. And Dak is going to have to understand that he needs people around him that are very good players, like Amari and Zeke. So that he's going to have to understand that, and understand that he can't be getting Kirk Cousins money, because even Kirk Cousins doesn't deserve Kirk Cousins money, let's be honest. But Dak Prescott needs talent around him, and the way that you get that is by paying people. So he's going to have to accept some kind of, he's going to have to give the Cowboys some kind of discount, really. Because if he takes all that money, then who are they going to put around him, you know? So then, like I just said, you know, Dak threw that interception, but then he comes back and he does that. He makes the play again. On the 3rd and 14, he runs for 16 yards. He flips over some guy, and just amazing, really. He's just, like I said, he's just that playmaker. And then they finally do the quarterback sneak to get him his rushing touchdown, which at that point he kind of deserved for what he did, really. He willed the team to victory. That's really what he did. Along with Zeke, because they really fed Zeke a lot. You can tell with his 136 yards and his touchdown. But really, Dak Prescott kind of... He's really that leader. And although I've said in the past that he's not good enough, I've also said that he's a game winner and that he's going to do whatever it takes to win the game. So, I guess in that sense, he's good enough. We'll see if he's good enough, though, to win a Super Bowl, which is a little bit different. Obviously, he's good enough to win a playoff game. They just did. But is he good enough to go that distance? And one thing I wanted to say is, I've been seeing a lot of things on Twitter about finish the fight. And they're saying... And it was the Dallas Cowboys tweeting out this, finish the fight against the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm like, no. That's not where you finish the fight. Finishing the fight is getting to the playoffs, or getting to the Super Bowl and winning that. This isn't finishing the fight. This is continuing the fight. So I just wanted to say that they need to get that right. What the hell's wrong with them? Finish the fight. Early the wild card game. And then Jones got beat late again. He got beat over the top again. What's going on with this guy? He gets a Pro Bowl nod, and all of a sudden, he thinks he made it, and he's just allowed to not play good anymore? What's wrong with this guy? He needs to keep his head in the damn game. Because when he got beat deep, there was still a chance for the Seahawks to get the ball back and score, especially whenever they converted on a 2-point conversion again, on a run. He needs to start playing better. He had a good game, but this is the third game in a row that he's gotten beat deep at least once, and that needs to change. He needs to get his head back in the damn game. He can't, and I've said this in one of the earlier episodes. He thinks that, it seems like he thinks that because he's getting this Pro Bowl nod that he's made it. You know, it's going to his head because even he said that he's one of the better corners in the league. And I've said this also in the past. It's okay to be cocky and it's okay to be confident, but prove it every single damn game. Don't just think that because you made it one time that you're done and you're good to go. You're just, you know, you're done. And that's not the way it works, man. So the Janikowski injury really ended up not winning us the game, but it was a big factor because, you know, that punter just gave the ball to Beasley there at the end. So my final thoughts on the game were Dak, again, the main takeaway that I take away from that I have from this game is that Dak again ends up proving that he's a game winner. And if you go back and listen to all my episodes, I think since the very second or first episode, I said that Dak Prescott he's a competitor. He's a game winner. He's not going to be your Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to be your Drew Brees. He's not going to be your Patrick Mahomes. That's just not the kind of talent that he is. He's just not that talented. Plain and simple. He's not that talented. But don't test him on his competitiveness and on his willingness to make the play, because he will. He's going to ace that test every single time. So you're probably thinking to yourself, well, what next? I know I was. So there's only two other teams that we could play. It's either going to be the Saints or it's going to be the Rams. And it depends on what happens tomorrow. If the Bears win, then the Cowboys are going to travel to New Orleans. If the Eagles win, then the Cowboys are going to travel to the Rams. Both are going to be very hard games. But if you ask me which one of those teams I prefer to face, it would definitely have to be the Rams. The Rams would be a very beatable team for the Cowboys, especially considering they're on the west side. But really, the Saints are also close to... They'd also be close to Dallas, so... It's not really about that. It's about the talent and the teams. And I think that the Cowboys already beat the Saints. I think the Cowboys match up even better against the Rams and... I'm not saying it'd be an easy W. I'm just saying I'd prefer that game. Although, if we're gonna be champs, we're gonna beat everybody, and it doesn't matter who we face. That's the way I see it. That's the way it goes. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, send me an email to thedrivecowboysaddict@gmail.com. That's thedrivecowboysaddict@gmail.com. This address is also on the notes of the podcast. And if you listen on Anchor, on the Anchor app anyway, press that messaging button and let me know what you think. I will include that in an episode or read any of the mail that I get. I'll read off in the episode. And we can talk about whatever is on your mind. So anyways, thanks for listening. If wherever you're listening, subscribe or follow. And follow me on Twitter at what is it? Why can't I remember it right now? @Dallas_addict. And you'll get notifications for when a new episode drops immediately. All right, cool. See you next time. Thanks for listening.